Okay, Psalm 93, starting at verse 1. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established, firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves, mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days.
Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, for your word declares your majesty, your dominion. Your attributes cry out loud that you are King. Your sacrifice confirms it that you are King eternal. So, Lord, we ask that you may engage with our spirits and open our eyes and minds to really see you for who you are. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There are times when God's people need to be reminded afresh whose we are and who we serve. Psalm 93 helps us to do that. A number of Bible scholars and theologians, they recognize this psalm to be associated with the Messianic kingdom. The Messianic kingdom is that kingdom that our Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray for in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 10. Thy kingdom come, or your kingdom come. The Messianic kingdom is also that kingdom that the Lord Jesus Christ, who of course is the Messiah, will establish here on earth at the time of his second coming in power and great glory. So the question I want to ask you is this: are you a Christian who is being persecuted? Be comforted by the fact that Christ reigns. Suffering affliction from unconverted family members? Be comforted by the fact that Christ reigns. Enduring physical ailments that leave you miserable? Be comforted by the fact that Christ reigns. Are you facing an obstacle in your life that seems insurmountable? Christ reigns. Perhaps you are discouraged. I tell you again, Christ reigns. You feel weak and impotent in the face of temptations and trials. On the authority of God's word, I remind you again that Christ reigns. All praise to him who reigns above in majesty supreme. Why did Joseph, that we know about in Genesis, persevere in prison, knowing that he had done no wrong? Why did Daniel continue to pray, as at other times, knowing that it might cost him his life? Why did the three Hebrew children refuse to bow to the idols when faced with the fiery furnace? How could Paul and Silas have rejoiced after being beaten and imprisoned in Philippi? How is it that the gospel continues to spread in the face of fierce liberal agenda and Islamic opposition? Why do young girls boldly evangelize and bring others to Christ in the face of beatings and rapes and even martyrdoms in countries like Nigeria, Pakistan, Indonesia? There is only one answer. It is the same answer to every question of its kind. It is the answer of the ages. Christ reigns. In contrast to our mere existence and minute position on earth, our God stands eternal, and Psalm 93 heralds this immortal God as from everlasting. That is verse 2 of Psalm 93. It tells us that he is forever. That is in verse 3. Verse 5 also. The Psalm's emphasis is clearly on the Lord, as his name is repeated 5 times in these 5 brief verses. Now, though the book of Psalms, many of us we know, overflow with concerns, appeals about my enemies, apprehensions and questions, this psalm separates itself as only an all about him. And this statement is all about him, which clearly rings out in the scripture, is the Lord himself who tells us the whole world, the whole creation, is all about him. In John 15:16, the Bible tells us, it is the Lord himself who chose us. Eternal life is a gift from him. It is the Spirit of God who keeps us safe, sealed and secure. That's Ephesians 1:13. It is God who began the good work in us, and it is he who will complete it because of his faithfulness. Philippians 1:6. It is he who is preparing a place for us. John 14:2. It is the Lord who is building his church. And the list goes on and on and on. Now, what a refreshing psalm to keep us focused on the one above as we live the life below. How necessary it is for us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. A.W. Tozer used to illustrate that if a person had 4,000 pianos and tried to tune them all to each other, he will fail miserably. But if the same individual instead used a tuning fork, he could successfully tune all the pianos to it. The one tuning fork all believers need to tune to is not each other, but the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look at Psalm 93, we'll look at them under 3 headlines. Verses 1 and 2, God reigns as King of creation. Verses 3 and 4, God reigns eternally and triumphantly. And verse 5, God reigns in truth and holiness. So let's look at the first subsection. God reigns as King of creation and powerfully. The Bible never leaves us in doubt as to the beginning of God. He had no beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, we are told that in the beginning, God was. And in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 18, if I read from the message, it says, we look at this Son and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank of angels, everything God started in him and finds his purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when he comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 and 12 to 18, when Jesus Christ was given the revelation of what was to come to the Apostle John, he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I'm the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One." The attributes of God, there never was a name greater than the name of Christ. There never was a time when he was not. There never will be a time when he shall cease to be. God has neither evolved, he has not grown nor improved. All that God is today, he has ever been and ever will be. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God discloses his name to Moses, and he said, "I am who I am," which is the definition of the Hebrew word Yahweh. The Jews consider that name so sacred to utter. And the name proclaims God as self-existent, self-sufficient, eternal, and sovereign. I am who I am. I will be what I will be. To know about the reigning of this God, how it is glorious, how it is powerful. He gives commands, and people must obey him. We heard the story of Jonah. God told Jonah, "Go to Nineveh." And Jonah felt, "I don't want to go. Why should God tell me to go to those terrible people?" Jonah decided to go a different direction. He refused to hearken to the voice of God. He forgot that this God reigns eternal, he is powerful. All things are subjected to him. And when Jonah got into the boat, God decided to use his majestic power. He just spoke to the waters, "You waters, start rolling." And they obeyed him. And the boat was thrown into confusion. And Jonah thought, "Well, maybe I can escape this and just jump in and die." Eventually, Jonah was thrown into the sea, and Jonah thought that was the end. And God spoke to one of his creation, and he said, you go and put Jonah in your mouth just for a few days. And the whale just said, "Yes, sir." The whale obeyed, opened his mouth, and Jonah entered. The prophet of God could not listen to what God was saying, but that whale was obedient. And after 3 days, God felt maybe Jonah has learned some lessons. And God said, "You will take Jonah somewhere and drop him. While he's inside, you don't harm him. Don't harm him. And Jonah was vomited. That shows how powerful our God is. Listen to what the Apostle John wrote about God being clothed in majesty. In John 1:14, he says, "We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth." And J.I. Packer, writing about God, he says, "The name Yahweh is not a description of God, but simply a declaration of his self-existence and his eternal changelessness." When you consider the changelessness of God, what are the things that readily come to mind? God's truth does not change. Never mind those who want to argue that some years ago when God said the way of salvation is by grace through faith. Now somebody wants to tell us that he has gone through many schools of theology and there could be several ways to God. No, God's truth does not change. When Abraham was saved, Abraham was not saved by virtue of his works. Abraham was saved through grace. When you look at a man like David, David was not saved because of his works. In fact, if it were his works would condemn him. He was saved by grace. Or is it Paul you want to talk about? God's ways do not change. Never mind all the arguments that people give to us nowadays. We have the liberal theology that we want to rewrite the truths of the scriptures. God's ways don't change. And let us hold firm to what we believe. There could be several hundreds of synods. They will make pronouncements. God wants us to be here, to stand firm, to defend his word, to defend the changelessness of God's truth. The truth that God declared to his people hundreds of years ago is still the same truth today. If we don't understand it, that is our problem. Because the Holy Spirit is there to declare the changelessness of God's truth. God deals with the sinner, making opportunities for him or for her to be saved. God loves humanity. Those things don't change. He hasn't changed his mind with respect to salvation. It has always been by grace and not on a human effort. God's character does not change. Whatever the attributes of God were before the universe was called to existence, they are precisely the same today and will remain so forever. Now, having considered in all quarters the worldly rule of idols, earthly deities or kings, the psalmist at last bursts forth into words which attribute supreme government to none other but to Jehovah, the true God. He says, our Lord reigns powerfully. The Lord is clothed with strength. He's not only clothed with majesty as a prince in a court, but he's clothed with strength as a general in his camp. By this we understand that he has the wherewithal to support his greatness and to make it truly formidable. We see him not only clad in robes of royalty, but also clad in the armor of conquest. Both strength and honor are his clothing. This shows us that our God can do everything, and that with him, nothing is impossible. When I was reading the newspapers, especially the Church of England newspapers, the last couple of weeks, which I missed because I was away, I was so sad. I was sad because I was wondering, where is our church going? And don't think it is just Church of England. Worse things are happening in other denominations. It's only our own always from the headlines. And when I saw this, the Lord reminded me again, our God reigns. That is our hope. Because he reigns, we can face whatever foes come our way. And that is the imagery that is being given to us in verses 3 and 4. God reigns eternally and triumphantly. The imagery in this portion of the poem is of a threatening storm. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. This speaks of terror. The seas have lifted up their pouring waves. This is worse. For this speaks of real danger. The allusion is of a tempestuous sea. Yet in Isaiah 57 verse 20, he tells us, he says, he compares the wicked to such a sin. Well, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Isaiah 54:11 shows us that God's people are sometimes afflicted. They are tossed with tempest. They are not comforted. But praise be to God, then, that the Lord Jesus Christ, who once walked on the rough seas and quieted the wind, is still able to calm the storm seas. As you look at the church and you think, wow, there are stormy days ahead. And yes, we have to be aware, there are stormy days ahead. Remember, the Lord on high is mightier than the thunder of the great waters, is mightier than the breakers of the sea. So this is our comfort, this is our hope, that because the Lord reigns, we can face the storms, whatever they are. Yes, a time may come in this country when somebody will want to read through the scripts of your sermon before you preach them. The Lord reigns. We will not be afraid, just as he was with Daniel and his friends. He is going to be with us. The point that is being made is that the wicked people or forces cannot disturb God's rule. No. They cannot defeat the designs of God and his purposes. Our most powerful foes are nothing more to the Lord than the noise of many waters. There is more sound than substance to them. Look back over your life's experiences. Have you not typically been more frightened than hurt? Why is this so? This is because Jesus Christ is mightier than the noise which so many times troubles us and robs us of our sleep. After all, he is the one who can, according to Psalm 65 verse 7, still the noise of the seas, of the waves, and the tumult of the people. The question is, does the Lord reign in your life? I'm not talking about being saved. I'm not asking you if God has saved you from your sins. Salvation and lordship at times could be seen as not the same. We struggle with that today, as did the children of Israel. We see this throughout the scripture. For one example, we look at God saving the children of Israel from bondage in Egypt. And then we find them in the wilderness, complaining, stubborn, not yielding their will, not submitting to him as their Lord. And Paul, writing to the Galatians, he stated, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth?" Galatians 5:7. Finally, verse 5. Our Lord reigns in truth and holiness. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. This, of course, means that of all his promises, there is none of them you say is not reliable. You can take God's promises to the bank. You can rely on his word. So what should the response of each one of us be to God's trustworthiness? He promises safety and keeps his promises. He says you are secure from harm. So what should your response be? The psalmist put the proper words into our mouths. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. This is a reference to Christ's household. So I will apply it to both this church and the household of faith generally. Whether you are a member of this church or a Christian who is our guest this afternoon, the church and the household of faith at large can be likened to God's house. It is cleansed from sin. It is consecrated by God, and it should be employed in God's service. The holiness of this church is our beauty. Saints are never so attractive than when conforming to the image of Christ. In closing, if you are now not discouraged, you must have been one time or the other. If you are not now discouraged, you will be sometime along the line. This is because life is properly likened to changing weather conditions, especially the British weather. And sometimes the storm and the winds, they blow and the waves crash in on us. Psalm 93 shows us that our Lord Jesus Christ reigns. If you keep that as your perspective, and that his throne is established from everlasting, and that he is mightier than the noise and even the mighty waters, that should give us comfort. He is clothed with majesty and strength. And his testimonies, his words, his promises are very sure. If we forget that, then we'll just be like waves just here and there in the hands of individuals. We'll look at them and look at problems larger than what they are supposed to be. But when we see our God reigning in majesty, in power, eternally, changeless, his powers limitless, and telling us, I'm all for you. That's why I went to the cross. It gives us the hope, the assurance that we need. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know how dangerous our world is. And we know that the only safety and security that's guaranteed is the one that belongs to you. We want our response to be that of holy living as we worship you in truth. And at the same time, we know how dangerous it is to be unconverted, to be accounted as noise and waves, to be someone who rejects Christ. So, Lord, do something new in our lives. Refresh our vision of you and help us to be who you want us to be, worthy ambassadors for you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.